two Sundays ago, we dealt with this subject here in chapter 9, verse 11 through 14 on the blood of Jesus. I'm going to give you that last point tonight on that subject, on the blood of Jesus. Hebrews 9, verse number 1, we'll read it in context here. Verse 1, Hebrews 9, verse 1. Everybody got it? What's the first word?
Amen.
Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. That's that Old Testament sanctuary. He said it was worldly in the sense that it was made in this world. Verse 3, and after the second veil, the tabernacle which is called the holiest of alls, which had the golden censer and the ark of covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of covenant, And over it the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priests went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. There's a whole lot went on in the New Testament dispensation that we live in because of Jesus Christ coming to this world. But just think about it in the sense of that Old Testament tabernacle, that into the holiest of all where the glory of God was, the high priest only. Only the high priest could go, and he could only go once a year. Once a year. And because of Jesus Christ, his veil being rent, his temple, his flesh, giving himself a sacrifice for us, we have access in that holy place of God every day in any moment of our lives. And that they would have to wait a whole year to get there, and only the high priest could go there. It's a privilege to be able to go there. You see the how far it was away for them just to get there, and only selected people could go. But anybody today that's saved by the grace of God can bow their head before a holy God and enter to the holiest of alls and talk and commune with God himself. That's a privilege. That's a blessing. There's no restrictions on it other than things that hinder our fellowship with the Lord. Why don't we take advantage of that? Once a year he could only go. You think he didn't look forward to that every year? I mean, you think when he came out of being in there that one time, he got to go in there once a year, when he got out, he didn't tell everybody where he had been and try to explain about being in the presence of God with everybody outside around him? And how we take it for granted to be able to go to the Lord in prayer and talk to him in the holy place. And hardly never talk about it.
Amen.
When was the last time you sat down and talked with somebody? Man, I was just in prayer with the Lord the other day, boy, and it got so sweet and so good, and man, the Spirit of God was so fresh. You heard much of that? You don't hear much of that from anybody. You hear people say, well, man, I was in church and God moved in church and he does that. You know what I mean? All that stuff's good and in its place. But that's the significance of going in and having communion with God daily in your life. What a privilege.
Amen.
Just thought I'd say that. Verse 8. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices, that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation. But Christ, being come an high priest of good things to come, by greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. And what the writer here in the book of Hebrews is doing, he's beginning to compare Jesus Christ, his body, his tabernacle, what he did, to the Old Testament tabernacle and the Old Testament sacrifices. He says in verse 12, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God tonight. Thank you for the privilege to gather here with the saints of God. And thank you for your mercy and grace. And thank you for your book, God, that guides us into all truths. And God, we pray to you, Lord, for the request that's been made mention tonight with Brother Buck and Brother Brooks and these health problems, and Brother Cal leaving tomorrow, and God needing some guidance and protection. Brother John out preaching, God. Others, God, you know about some, God, not mentioned tonight, but I'm sure there's things on the hearts of your people tonight. And God, I pray, God, you'd go where that need is and touch them and minister to them, God, and help them by your grace and mercy. Touch all our minds tonight as we look in thy word. Illuminate the scriptures to us. Draw us closer to you. Convict and challenge whatever we need tonight. God, we're trusting you to do it. God, we love you and thank you for loving us. We plead the blood that was shed on Calvary over this service tonight, God, and over our minds. And God, help us, Lord, to say what be pleasing in thy sight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. The blood of Jesus. We looked at verses 11 through verses 14 a little bit Wednesdays ago, we said, and we began with in verses 11 and 12 with the entrance of the blood and what it did when it entered in and what it accomplished. We saw, secondly, the eternal work of his blood in verses 12 and 13. He obtained eternal redemption for us. So we see the entrance of his blood, the eternal work of his blood. But I want you to look in verse 14 tonight. I'm going to deal with the subject of the evacuation of the blood. The evacuation. Now, Christ's blood, the blood of God that flowed through the veins of the Son of God, entered into this world 2,000 years ago when he was born of a virgin, as the brother read just a moment ago in the book of Matthew, when he entered into this world, and then that blood entered up into heaven, which gave us that eternal redemption that we so much are thankful for today. But the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ not only saves our souls from hell, but it'll save your life daily. There's a lot of things that the blood of Jesus Christ does. I'm going to deal with this thing of the evacuation of his blood. Look in verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offer himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? He said, purge your conscience. The word evacuation simply means an emptying or a clearing of the contents. We said we're talking about the evacuation of his blood. What did it clear of contents? What did it empty out? Amen. In relationship to this verse, he's talking about purging your conscience. Your conscience. The word purge means to cleanse or to separate and carry off whatever is impure. The conscience, that thought process within man. That thing up there that everybody has, whether they're saved or lost. It's something that testifies to you that there is a God. His conscience speaks to him. Now, our conscience, through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, could be purged. Purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. The purge your conscience means to burn out some things that are impure. To empty it out, to evacuate, to take away some of those things up there that bother us in our conscience, or to get our conscience back where it should be. Look at this in 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. I want to deal with this conscience a little bit tonight. 1 Timothy chapter 2. I want you to take your Bible and follow along with us, and pray that the Lord would challenge our hearts with this issue of our conscience. He said the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ can purge our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. 1 Timothy chapter number 2, I'm talking about the purging or burning out of the conscience. Chapter 2 in 1 Timothy, I'm in the wrong place. Look in 2 Timothy. Excuse me there. Verse 20. of 2 Timothy, not 1 Timothy. 2 Timothy 2, verse 20. First word is but, right? But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth. Some to honor and some to what? So there's vessels. These vessels are used for honor and they're used for dishonor. He said in verse 21, if a man therefore what? Purge himself from these. To purge, to burn out, to empty, to remove, to separate from anything that's impure. And he's talking about being a vessel of honor or a vessel of dishonor. Now we have a vessel made of flesh and blood. Now our vessel could be of honor or our vessel could be of dishonor. It depends on how much purging is done within the vessel. The word purge means to take out the impure, to burn it out, to do away with. Verse 21, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto what? Honor. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to be a vessel of honor. I want to bring glory and honor to my Lord. I want the Lord to be able to look down on me one day and say, you know what? I need to use you for my work, and you're a good vessel fit to be used. I need you right here to do something for me, and I'm calling on you to be used to me. God will do that in your life. Amen. God will put you in people's lives and situations, and God will look down and say, I want to use you today. I want to use you over here. I want you to be my mouthpiece. I want you to be my vessel. But God's looking for vessels of honor, not of dishonor. Question is, how can I become a vessel of honor, not a vessel of dishonor? There's got to be some purging. There's got to be some burning out of some things that are impure. Amen. Got to be removed out of our lives. Verse 21, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel of honor, sanctified. Amen. The sanctification process that takes place in a person's life. Amen. Sanctified, being separated. Amen. Called aside for God and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every what? Good work. Now, it's an honor that God would even use us. It's a God that the God of glory would look down and say, I'd like to use you. I want to call your number today. I need you to speak on my behalf. And God's looking for vessels of honor to be used. You know, sometimes we're in a certain place that God could really use a witness and he really don't have any because of our lives are unsanctified, if you will, if you want to use that word like that. Are unpurged, the filth in our life, the garbage in our lives, in our conscience and in our mind. We're not even thinking, we're not God conscious. We're too worldly conscious because we fill up with so much of the world. And God would really love to use you right here. The need in someone's life, going through a death, or going through tragedy, or going through hardships, going through marital problems, or whatever it might be. And you look at people like that every day of your life. This world's full of people that are needing God. I mean, there's chaos everywhere, trouble everywhere, on every side, but we're not in despair, right? No. Do you know what God needs? God needs vessels. God needs somebody he can use, but he's got to be purged so God could use him. Amen. There's got to be some things emptied out of his life. He's got to be sanctified and meet for the master's use. Look in verse 22. Flee off also youthful lust. You know what that shows me? God can even use your youth. A vessel of honor is just not some elderly Christian. It's just not someone that's up in age. If you're saved by the grace of God, God wants to use you. Amen. How many people, some of you saw it even school today that needed some help from God. I mean, their lives are in chaos. You look at them and they're just in despair. And they walk around moping and all day and maybe tears and crying and isolating themselves away from everybody because of troubles in their lives. And God said, hey, I need a vessel down at Richmond Senior. I had to go tell them about me. Somebody down at Richmond needs some help from God. Somebody at the ninth grade academy needs some help from God. Somebody out at Hamlet Junior High, Rohannon Junior High, Rockingham Junior High, these middle schools, if you will. Somebody in the elementary school needs to be told about God, and God's looking for a vessel to go in that school and tell him about him.
Amen. Yep.
You know, they've shut down the schools from us going in and preaching. They drive Bibles and prayer out of the school. But if you're a saint of God, you're a vessel of God, God wants to use you as a missionary in that school.
Amen.
Look at the missionary works all around the world. We thank God for these men and women giving up their lives to go around the world and be a vessel of honor for God. But God will use your vessel here. Yes, sir. God needs somebody in your schoolhouse, in your street corner, in your community. I was looking for somebody purged and sanctified for the master's use. Can God use you? And I would say, stop right there and say, it's pretty sad that we being saved by the grace of God and blood washed and on our way to heaven and live like hell, and our lives are not purged and our consciences are defiled. Our lives are not an honor to God, and we can't even help those people out there dying without God. Amen. Aren't you glad you're saved? Amen. You're going to heaven because of God's blood that was shed on Calvary, and God's been good to you, and we abuse the blood of Jesus Christ and abuse the vessel that's been bought with a price and defile it and play around with filth. Amen. I said, purge yourself from these things so I can use you for my glory.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you something. There come a time in your life you wish you had the touch of God on your life to help somebody.
Amen.
You say, well, I don't know those people, but what are you going to do when it hits home and somebody close to you? What are you going to do when somebody in your family, your brothers, your sisters, your mama, your daddy needs a touch of God, needs somebody to be a witness for them, but your life's so defiled, you can't even be used to help them? That's sad right there, man. You ain't got enough touch of God on you and confidence in God, and your conscience is so defiled, you don't think you can't even lift up a prayer to heaven on someone's behalf. God's looking for vessels of honor. How you do that? Well, you got to be flee some things. He says, verse 22, flee also useful lusts. I mean, this useful lust, we can say it to youth, but what about you adults? You got to flee these things. I mean, you're the vessel at that job. You're the one that God wants to use. You're the one that can reach your community. You're the one that can reach some people no one else could reach. But you know why we can't reach them? Because we've abused the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've not used it for our benefit to live a practical life that brings obedience to God and brings power of God and helps someone else in this whole world. Flee. But what? Follow. Righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So there's got to be some fleeing, but there's got to be some following. We're talking about a conscience purged, burnt out. How is your conscience tonight? How does your we dealt with that thing about the thoughts, your thoughts in your heart and the thoughts in your mind. What about your conscience? Look with me in Romans chapter number 2. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ will purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Your conscience, is it been purged? Is it burnt out? The filth, the burn out of it? The things that bring defilement to your life and to the name of Jesus Christ, purge it. Romans chapter number 2, look in verse number 15. Your conscience, your conscience. He says in Romans chapter 2 and verse 15, which show the work of the law written in their hearts. You see that? They're what? Come on, you with me tonight?
Amen.
Is your mind already defiled so much that you can't even pay enough attention in church to get something from God to help your life? I'm telling you, this right here, it might be slow, it might be methodical, you might think, it might not be as much excitement in the air, but this right here is the kind of stuff that'll get out of your craw and help your life. And you can let the devil rob you of that word, that seed that's trying to be sown tonight, or you can let it fall on some good ground and give you some victory in your life.
Amen.
This stuff will help you, amen. And your conscience is defiled. Your conscience needs purging, amen. It needs to be used of God, amen. Hey, you just feel like, well, I'm so filthy, I can't even be used. You ever get like that in your life?
Amen.
Look what he says about the conscience now. Look what I mean. Now get in your Bible. Get with the service. There's a resistance in here. You're not getting it, amen. I can tell when you're not getting it. I want you to get this because I know it can help you. You stay with me, amen. You say, preacher, slow. Just stay with the Word of God. Stay with the Spirit of God. Let it minister to your heart. This Word will do the job for you tonight.
Amen.
It'll help you in your conscience. It'll help you in your victory in your life. It'll help you to be a vessel of honor for God. Don't waste your Christian life. God wants to use you. When I say you, I'm talking to everyone in here tonight.
Amen.
There's not anybody that God cannot use as His child. Maybe you don't feel like you can because your conscience is not right, but we'll work with that if you just pay attention a little bit. Look at this now. Verse 15. You with me? What's the first word? Which. Give me some feedback now. Which show the work of the law in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness. It bears witness. Your conscience bears witness. You know what a witness is? Someone speaks on someone's behalf. Your conscience bears witness. It's speaking on the behalf of something. What does it do? Look at this now. Their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or else excusing one another. You know what your conscience will do? It'll accuse or it will excuse. Now, that thing goes two ways, though. Amen. It can accuse and excuse on the good light. Stay with me. Or it can accuse and excuse on the bad light. Right. Amen. It could accuse on the good light. Your conscience could accuse you that, hey, that what you're thinking, that what you're doing, that where you're going, that ain't right. It's accusing you. Right? On the good light. It can excuse you and on the good light and say, well, you know what? The devil's trying to say you ought not to be doing that, but God's with it. It aligns over the word of God, and it excuses you and says, go on and do it anyhow. Don't let the devil stop you from doing what's right. Right? You need that sometimes in your life to be excused. Now, sometimes the devil will say, no, 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 that ain't right. But the conscience will either excuse or excuse you. Look at it on the bad light. It'll accuse you. Or excuse you. You know what? In a bad conscience, your conscience, if it's in a bad shape, in a bad way, I'm talking about the conscience in both lights tonight, your conscience can excuse you. You could do things that are biblically straight out wrong and your conscience say, well, ain't nothing wrong with that. It excuses you. It'll let you off the hook. The same conscience that used to when it's in the light, when it's done right, when it's been purged. When things have been removed out of it, now that conscience. Somebody give me a sin. Any sin. It don't matter. Just give me one. Cussing. When my conscience has been purged by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and when I cuss, my conscience says, hey, boy, that ought not to come out your mouth. That shouldn't be doing. That shouldn't be happening. Amen. That's not right. It accuses me that, hey, you're guilty. But when my conscience has been defiled and it's not been purged by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm talking about even the saved. Let's talk about just in the saved realm right here. In the child of God's realm, a saved man, his conscience has been purged, there's been things removed, God's evacuated the field, and his conscience says, hey, don't say that again. But then that man gets his conscience defiled. And it's not purged, things are not removed. He just cusses and don't even matter. The same conscience that used to say, hey, boy, shut that up. That ought to be coming out your mouth. Amen. Now that conscience is saying nothing. And a matter of fact, if you let that defiled conscience alone, not only will it not accuse you, it will excuse you. Your defiled conscience will get so bad and say, well, everybody else talks like that. Right. Yep. It's bad enough that it's not accusing you. It's now excusing you. Right. Mm-hmm. Well, who said that's a bad word anyhow? You with me? So your conscience could accuse or excuse you on both lights. Your conscience. And let's talk about the conscience a little bit. Let me give you some scriptures about the conscience. You know, let's look at it on the negative side of the conscience. On the negative side of the conscience, number one, your conscience can be weak. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. A weak conscience is a bad conscience. The reason why it is weak, because it has not been purged by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some Christians have what we call weak consciences. Their conscience does not even bother them because it's weak. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 in verses number 12. He said in verse 11, and though thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died, but when ye sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ. Do you know that some Christians have weak consciences? Well, they're weak because they've not been purged. And not be cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when a Christian has a weak conscience, you can hurt their life. You can hurt the car. You can hurt, you know what? Because they don't know any better. There's certain things, you know, it's not going to send you to hell, but you know you ought not to be doing it. The conscience, when it's been purged, it lets you know you ought not to be saying it, you ought not to be doing it, you ought not to be going there. But a weak Christian is not strong in their conscience. It's a little bit defiled, if you will. Hey, now their conscience can be easily worked on to mold them to do things they ought not to do. You take a little child. They don't know no better. You know, they got a conscience, but it's been played around with so much junk they put before it and weakened it a little bit. And now they can see things in your life and they say, well, if Brother Chris does it, it's surely got to be good. He's a preacher, you know. Well, if she's doing it and she's a young Christian just like me and she's been saved longer than I have, surely it's got to be okay. You listen to me. Don't be judging what's right by people that are defiled in their lives. And it's easy to judge how to do right by looking at people when you're young and you're weak in your conscience. Are you hurting people with a weak conscience? You know, your conscience lets you know, when I said that right there, when I said that, if your conscience is not so defiled, there are certain things in your life that you know you ought not to be doing.
Amen.
I ain't even said them. I ain't even called out no sins. I just said conscience clear, you know, but something got registered in your conscience. You know what we need to learn to do? You need to learn to listen to God working through your conscience.
Yep.
The Spirit of God will speak to you through your conscience if it's not been messed up. And if the Spirit of God's showing you things that, that's what I do, that I know when people see me, that's hurting them.
Amen.
Why don't you do something about that?
Amen.
Why don't you do something about it? Do you know that you're hurting others? Do you know your life is accountable to others?
Right.
No man liveth to himself. None of us what die to himself, right? You know, we all affect someone down the journey. You know what our problem is? We get to the point where our conscience gets so defiled, we don't even care who we affecting. I wonder why my young people don't want to serve God. I wonder why my children don't want to do this, and this one don't want to do this. Hey, maybe you're defiling their and harming their weak conscience. Weak conscience. You know, it's kind of like, you know, kind of like convictions, if you will, when it comes to young people. They say, well, I don't got them kind of convictions. I'm like the old timers say, well, you just live off mine, do you get some? You know what your youngins need to learn to do? They need to live off your convictions till they get some. That's why you're a parent. That's why you're to lead your family right. That's why if you back that thing all the way down, that's why the man is the head of his home. And the man needs to set his foot down and say, listen, as for me and my house, Joshua said, we're going to serve the Lord, right?
Amen.
You've heard it said, you know, we got to post it all over our house. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. That's what Joshua said. He didn't ask Miss Joshua what she thought.
Amen.
Hey, be a man in your home and stand up and say, we're going to do what's right from here on out. I'm tired of living like this. Hey, you got to be the one with a strong conscience, purged from these evil things, that you can be used of God to help those that are weak.
Amen.
Weak conscience. Your conscience could be weak. Not only could it be weak, to even go worse, your conscience could be seared. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 4. It could be seared. 1 Timothy 4. Purge your conscience. It either excuse or accuse, right? When your conscience gets weak, you begin to excuse things that you used not to excuse. You begin to say this is okay when your conscience was not weak, it was not okay. Why is it in our lives that things change when it comes to the Word of God and biblical standards and convictions in our lives? Why do they go down? Why is it not that important to do it this way anymore and to be here anymore or to say this right this way or do this way anymore? Why is it not any important? You know why? Because your conscience has got weak. And when your conscience gets weak, you start excusing things. You take somebody with a weak conscience and say, well, you know, it's not that important to be at church. You know, weak. You play around with a weak conscience long enough, your conscience can be seared. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. He said in verse 1, now the Spirit, that's capital S, the Holy Spirit, is what he speaketh. Here's what he says. You ever listen to him? He's a person. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. You know what people start doing? They'll start believing doctrines of devils, giving heed to those kind of things, and they'll even depart from the faith. Depart from what's right, amen. Depart from the faith, the what faith? All the faiths in the Word of God. Leave it all behind. You know what happens? Verse 2, speaking lies and hypocrisy. Why would they depart from the faith? Why would they begin speaking lies and hypocrisy? Why would their mouths lie? Does it not bother them that they lie? Does it not bother them to even forsake what was right in their life before? They gave heed to seducing spirits, doctrines of the devil. You better be careful playing around with the devil.
Amen.
And spirits of the devil.
Amen.
You start speaking lies.
Yes, sir.
Why? Look what he says in verse 2. Having their conscience seared with a hot iron. It's been burnt. It's numb. You ever burnt somewhere and you lose the feeling in it? Seared it? There's no feeling anymore. None. You can hit on it, beat on it, don't bother you. Probably you got some things like that on your body somewhere. You've done some damage to the nerves, and now you have no feeling right there. Maybe in your feet, and your hands, something like, you ever done that?
Amen.
It's been seared. There's no feelings anymore. Your conscience gets seared, man. You start lying in hypocrisy.
Amen.
You'll depart from the faith.
Amen.
You'll ruin your life. You better be careful messing around with that
Amen.
Conscience. And that conscience, when it gets seared and has no feelings, and now everything you're doing is that you know is not right, you can get to a point that it don't even bother you that it's not right.
Amen.
That's the danger of the thing. You get so far out there and you depart from the faith, giving these seducing spirits and doctors of devils, you start speaking lies about everything and going against everything you used to live for. Why? Because your conscience has not been purged. Now it's seared. It's not just weak, it's seared. There's no feelings at all. It's called a defiled conscience. Look in Titus chapter 1. 2 Timothy and then Titus there. It's defiled. Titus 1 verse 15. You ever seen people with a defiled conscience? You ever seen what in the world makes somebody think like that? I mean, what in the world make you go out there and put all them holes in your body? I mean, your conscience says that ain't right. You know? What in the world make you go around and lay around and give your life as a... You're trying to say, not use any words that's not too harmless with some of these kids. Why you just lay your body down before anybody?
Right. Yeah.
It don't even bother you. No conscience about it.
Amen.
No conscience about them seeing you naked. Showing things of your body you should not be showing. And, you know, there's no conscience. There's no bothering about it. You a little kid, they will run and cover up. Nobody see them. And you get it so loose and living and it gets normal and then it don't bother you anymore.
Right.
They just go butt naked, you know. Why?
Yep.
Something's messed around with that conscience.
Amen.
You better be careful. You ought to keep them children blushing.
Amen.
You ought to keep them ashamed, man. I don't want anybody to see me like that. But you start letting it be loose like that, and you think, and we start, you know, we play around with that thing, and we make their conscience weak by us just joking and playing. You know, you're messing with something up there, a ticker up there to keep them out of some sin.
Yeah, man. Thank you, man.
God planted that thing up there. Even as a lost person, there's a conscience that says, hey, there is a God.
Yes, sir.
And let you know this is not right. You know what happens to lost people? They mess around and they sear their conscience. It becomes defiled and nothing bothers them anymore. Hey, the bottom's the limit, man. They dive into all kinds of sin. They're doing things in this world today. People have no conscience anymore.
Amen.
Committing acts and they know that when they first started doing them, there was something saying, that ain't right. You ought not to be doing it. You ought not to be looking at that. You ought not to be listening to that. You ought not to be committing that. That you've done it so much, you've seared your conscience. It's become defiled and nothing bothers you. Let me ask you something. Does it bother you to look at some of the junk that you look at?
Amen.
Does it bother you to say some of the things out of your mouth that you say? Does it bother you to commit fornication? To lay around... sexually that's inappropriate before God outside of marriage? Does it bother you? Does it bother this sodomite crowd to have sodomite tendencies so much that hey, they walk hand in hand down the road, men and men and women and women? You know what's happened? There was something went up in that brain of our conscience that this ain't right. You got no business touching something like that.
Yep.
You got no business living no lifestyle like that. But they saw it so much on television. It's been pumped before them. It's in our media. It's in Hollywood. And we've just defiled our conscience and accepted it just being the norm.
Amen.
It got weak. Then it got defiled. It got seared. And now we don't even blush anymore about it.
Amen.
Listen, that's why you need preaching of the Word of God to remind you that kind of junk's out of hell.
Yes,
somebody needs to tell you this is not right.
Yep.
Your conscience needs purged. It's defiled. Titus 1 verse 15. You with me?
Amen.
Unto the pure all things are what? All. You see that? Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and their conscience is defiled. That's bad. Nothing's pure. Nothing. Unbelieving. Where does unbelieving come from? Where does this thing about your faith being attacked? Right here. The Word of God. You start denying the truth of the Word of God, the faith of the Word of God. You start unbelieving, you rejecting God's Word as authority in your life.
Amen.
That's what we've done in this whole world. We threw the book away.
Right.
You know, why is the conscience of our school system so bad? They threw the Bible out of the school.
Amen.
There's nothing to believe. There's no faith anymore, man. We just rejected it all. If you're not careful, you'll reject it all.
Right.
And start living a life, man, what in the world's wrong with you? And it don't even faze you anymore. Defiled. Conscience. It could be evil. Look in Hebrews chapter 13. Quickly. It can either excuse or accuse you. When your conscience becomes seared and defiled and evil, it'll excuse anything. Anything goes. Nothing's wrong with anything. It doesn't bother you. When you get to a point where we say, hey, man, you need to be reading your Bible, man. It don't even bother you. You need to be praying, you know. You need to be coming to church better than what you're doing. Man, you ought not to be doing that. You ought not to be saying that.
Right.
And it don't even bother you. Your conscience. It's a dangerous thing to play around with. Hebrews 13, verse 18, it could be evil. Look at this. Hebrews 13, 18. He says this. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly.
Amen.
Pray for us.
Amen.
Amen. You want somebody to pray for you?
Amen.
That you have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly?
Right.
You want to live honest?
Amen.
Honest before God and honest before man? Amen. Is your conscience defiled? Is it evil? Is it seared? Is it weak? Does it excuse everything in your life? Or do you have any accusations? Let's look at it on the good side. You know what the conscience will do when it's right? It'll convict you. Look in John chapter number 8. It'll convict you. John 8. Convict. You know what we need? We need conviction. Conviction, a troubling, a trembling, something down in your soul that says, hey, this ain't what we ought to be doing. You need conviction. Are you convicted about your lifestyle? You know what? I'm just be honest. You know what's wrong with some of you young people? Y'all ain't even listening to me. I know there's something wrong with you. You won't even look at me when I'm preaching. You picking your fingernails and looking at everybody, looking at each other, and it's just like ward off a duck's back, man. You know what? You've done messed around with too much junk that don't even bother you no more. You need to wake up. You're playing around with something. You're playing with a time bomb.
Yep.
And it's down inside of you. And you've defiled that thing and played around. This social media has killed you kids.
Amen.
I mean, you look at so much garbage that everybody does and you think you made it all right. I mean, they do the Snapchats, you can do that kind of junk that you can... there's something wicked when you can do something and show a picture that leaves in 30 seconds. Why would you want it to go away?
Amen.
Yep. I know why you want it to go away. I'm not a dummy.
Yep.
Because what you just showed was inappropriate and you don't want nothing to be put back on somebody that can show somebody else. Look what they've been doing.
Amen.
Let it vanish away and all you got is their word against yours. But your conscience has got so defiled. When you first snapped those pictures like that, it bothered you. I guarantee you it did.
Amen.
When you first put it out, them words that you typed out, it bothered you.
Yep.
Why don't it bother you anymore? Your conscience has got weak. It's got defiled, it's become seared, and now it's evil. And it's excusing you. You know what it'll do? Here's what it'll do. When it gets like that, here's what we do. When your conscience gets evil and it gets defiled, before we go to the next side of that thing, you know what it'll do? It'll do things like this. It'll say this. We've always done it that way. Your conscience starts speaking to you. It'll do this. Number two, everybody else is doing it.
Yeah.
It's evil, man. And it's not, now, you know what it's doing? It's excusing you. It's no longer accusing you. It's excusing you. Everybody's doing it. You know? I know people, preacher, that you don't even know that's doing it. And you think they're holy. Yeah, that's what your conscience is telling you. You know what I'm saying? It's okay because there's people I think highly of that's doing it. It's still out of the pits of hell and God knows it. Whether I know it or not. Stop letting the devil excuse you from doing it. Care who you think's doing it. It ain't right if it's against God.
Amen.
But your conscience got so defiled, it's everybody's doing it. If you're doing it, you need to get right to God. You need some conviction in your conscience.
Amen.
You need an unraveling. You need your conscience needs to be purged. It needs to be burned out again. That evilness needs to be brought out. You know what else? You know what your conscience will say? It'll start doing things like this. Well, it just depends on how you look at it. It's just in the eyes of the beholder, you know. Well, you look at it that way, preacher, but that ain't the way we look at it.
Amen, preacher. Amen. Yeah.
You look at it as being something wrong. We don't look at it. I know you don't look at it as being wrong because your conscience is defiled.
Yep.
You with me?
Amen.
Your conscience needs purging. It'll say, well, here's what your conscience will tell you. You listen to me, young people? A little bit don't hurt. Yeah. A little bit don't hurt. You know how much blood you need to get AIDS? A little bit don't hurt. Yeah.
Amen.
Don't take but a drop and it's in your system and you got it. Oh, but a little bit didn't hurt? Yeah. Just one time? Yeah. And then you're pregnant and your life is changed from that day forward? You've lost the purity of your life in one moment because just a little bit didn't hurt?
Yep.
Something that you'll never get back again? Oh, yeah. Yeah, it does hurt. Yeah. And what the devil's told you, because your conscience is so defiled from listening to these boys and listening to these girls, you're losing that thing that's pure, and it doesn't bother you anymore, and it's robbing something from somebody that's pure that they can never get back, and once they get it, they're probably going to leave you anyhow. Leave you heartbroken and laying there with you, crying your eyeballs out to your mom and daddy and trying to tell you not to do that mess.
Yep.
But you let your conscience get defiled and you let down your guard and you ruined your life.
Amen.
Yeah, that's how serious it is.
Yep.
A little bit does hurt.
Amen, preacher.
You know what your conscience will say? When it starts excusing you, when it's defiled like this? Well, you know, I know when to stop. No, you don't know when to stop. Your conscience has lied to you so much because you've done certain things in your life. Some of you know what you've done, and you've been able to stop at certain points so far. But you keep playing around with it, you ain't going to stop. It's going to go further than that. But do you know what your conscience says? You know when to stop. You know when's enough. You know, hey, some of you teenagers are probably playing around with smoking. You know what? When you first lit one up, your conscience said, ding, 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 ding. That's wrong.
Amen.
You know why you know it's wrong? That's why you here to do it. Right?
Yep.
Something went off. You know what happens? You start playing around with it, it'll defile you enough. You start doing it in front of people that don't bother you. I remember the first time. I remember the first time I cussed in front of my daddy. I remember that. Lost. I remember the first time I cussed in front of my daddy. You know how many times I cussed before I cussed in front of him? You know how many times I talked like that before I done it in front of him? But you know what happened? I kept defiling that conscience and start searing that conscience, and I was bold enough to say it in front of him, and it didn't bother me. I remember that. I remember the place I was at, what I was doing when I said the word that I said.
Amen, preacher. Amen.
You know what happened, though? You kept playing around with it, and it got, you didn't care who hears you do it.
Yep.
You don't care who sees you do it.
Right.
You don't care if they see you drinking.
Right.
You used to.
Amen.
Yeah, but you knew when to stop. Mm-hmm. You know what the devil will tell you? You know what your conscience will say? Well, you got to get married. Yeah, try that one on for a size. Talk to some people about that one.
Amen.
You got to get married? Yeah. Yeah, you go ahead and do it. See how much more damage you do to what you already done.
Right.
You know what it'll do? You know what your conscience will say? Well, you got to make a living. You got to make a living. Everybody's got to make a living. Nothing wrong with that. Getting married, ain't nothing wrong with that. But you know how that thing can be used to excuse you doing it the wrong way? Marrying the wrong person and working at the wrong place and making a living the wrong way and ruining your life? Your conscience. You know what God wants to do? God wants to do something good with that conscience. God wants your conscience to convict you. Look what he says in John 8 verse 9. They brought this woman up there caught in adultery. You remember the story? Caught her in the very act. Bible said in verse 9, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last, and Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. What did Jesus say when he did? He stooped down to the ground and began to write. He said in verse 7, he that is without sin among you, the last part of that verse, let him first cast a stone at her. You want to kill the woman? You without sin, throw the stone. They got convicted in their conscience and left.
Amen.
You know what you need? To get a conviction back in your conscience.
Right. Amen.
And leave some things.
Amen.
Does your conscience convict you? If your conscience don't convict you, you need it purged.
Amen.
The conscience can be good. A good thing. Good. Look in Acts chapter 23. I got to hurry. Acts 23, verse 1, quickly. There's a lot in this thing. Acts 23, 1. And Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God unto this day. He said, man, my conscience is clear. And it wasn't because it was defiled. It wasn't because it was seared. He said, I've lived in good conscience before God unto this day. Hey, if you're doing it's right, if what you're doing is right, you know what you can say? God thinks it's right. God likes it. God's for it. Amen? He said, I lived in good conscience before God unto this day. God's all right with the way I'm living. Can you say that?
Amen.
You try. God's all right with me sneaking around the building smoking one. God's all right with me taking a little sip. God's all right with me taking that picture. God's all right with me posting that. God's all right with me saying that. God's all right with me doing that. Can you? If you can do that kind of wicked mess and say God's all right, you really bad off. When you get bold enough to start blaming God for it, you know how many people do that kind of stuff? God's leading me to do this. Yeah, you better watch what you blame on God. Your conscience could be good. Amen. There's a lot of verses there, but your conscience could be void of offense. Look in Acts 24, verse 16. He said, herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. Don't bother me before God or man. My conscience is clear. Boy, it ain't nothing like a clear conscience. No matter who you see, who you go around, nothing bothers. Not because it's seared, not because it's so defiled, but hey, you know what? I'm done everything I could before man and God. How's your conscience? Void of offense? You know what your conscience will do? When it's right, it'll question things. Look at this, 1 Corinthians 10, quickly. Get a question. Question. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 27. I'm telling you, this right here will help you if you let it. He said in verse 27, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, he says, if any of them that believe not bid you to eat, to a feast, and ye be disposed to go, whatsoever is set before you eat, asking no question for conscience sake. But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake, that showed it, for conscience sake, For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Question, you know what you're conscious to do? It'll question you. It'll question you. Is that right? Are you sure about that? You know what your conscience to do when it's in God's way instead of the what we said about the devil? The conscience is, your conscience will say, this is right.
Amen.
Your conscience will question you and say, is that right? Is that right? Somebody say something, you say, let's go do this, and your conscience will say, is that right? Should I do that? That's what it'll say when it's right. You know what your conscience will say? Your conscience will say, hey, if you do that, would that edify?
Amen.
Would that help someone? Or would that hurt someone? Should you do that? Should you go there? Your conscience will say, hey, can we ask God to bless that? Now, I'm about to do this. Can you nail down and say, God, would you bless this we're about to do? Next time you think about laying around with somebody, you boys and girls, doing things that's ungodly, ask yourself, can we ask God to bless this, what we're about to do? God, will you bless this? I'm your servant. I'm your child. The Spirit of God lives inside of me. I'm born again, blood washed on my way to heaven. Will you bless what we're about to partake of? Next time you look, punch that side in. God, will you bless this I'm looking at? Will you bless this I'm listening to? Conscience. Can you ask yourself this? If I was doing it and the Lord showed up, would he be all right when if he caught me doing it? Purge your conscience. You know what the blood will do? The blood will cleanse your thoughts.
Amen.
You know one of those things that messed around with you is your mind.
Yep.
Your conscience is so defiled. You know what we need? We need our conscience purged. We need our thoughts purged. We need our mind back on Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Look at 2 Timothy chapter 10. You know what the blood of Jesus Christ do? It not only save your soul from hell, but it'll cleanse your conscience. 2 Corinthians 10. 2 Corinthians 10. 2 Corinthians 10. It'll cleanse you. You know what you need if your conscience is like that? You need the blood of Jesus Christ to purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. You need it purged.
Yep.
You need it cleansed. You need that junk washed out. You need a good blood bath washing of your mind.
Amen.
To get your thoughts back right. You know what some of you need to do now? You need to get on altar and say, God, my conscience is so defiled. And my life's in such a mess. Would you cleanse it? Would you purge out all this filth and mess I put in my mind and before my face that's made me start thinking the way I'm thinking that is so anti-biblical that ain't right? And get my mind back fresh and new and on you. Need it washed. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, look in verse 4. And within the parentheses, he says this. He said in verse 3, so he said, for though we walk out in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through who? God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You know what we need? We need to cast down those imaginations and thoughts that so defiled our minds and bring it into subjection, bring it into captivity, amen. Let God cleanse our minds and our conscience and get us back clear before Him. We need cleansed. Cleansing. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that saved your soul from hell, had delivered you from that destruction and misery of an eternal lake of fire, is the same blood that will cleanse your conscience and your thoughts and bring things into captivity and take those things away from you that you can live clear before God and man. You know, stuff we put in our minds and our thoughts that's brought defilement in our lives and ruined our walk with God. Do you know many things the devil brings back up here? You remember when you did that? You remember when you said that? You remember when you went there? You ever battle with those thoughts? You know what you need? The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ would purge your conscience from dead works. It'll cleanse that thought process. Hey, plead the blood of your thoughts. Plead the blood of your mind. Plead the blood of your conscience. The same blood that saved you from hell can cleanse your conscience today to serve God in good works.
Amen.
Same power. It'll cleanse you. It's a cleansing agent. You let the blood cleanse you? You ever plead the blood over your thoughts? God, get that out of my mind.
Amen.
Get those thoughts out of there. Take that stuff away. You know when he said when he wrote down in the ground, he that be without sin, let him cast the first stone at her. From the eldest to the least, they left. You know why they started the eldest to the least? Because those elders had a lot of things up in that thought process they had committed. Amen. You live enough long enough time of sin out there in that world, and then you get saved in a later age. There's a lot more things that the devil can throw up in that mind. A lot more baits he can throw at you. Start reminding you. You remember where you used to be? You remember what you used to do? You sure you want to go on and serve God? You sure people can forgive you? You sure God can forgive you? You sure you can look at people in the face and tell them you're now saved, want to serve God, and the devil start playing around with your thoughts? You know what you need to do? Bring those things down into captivity. Amen. Casting down imaginations and high things that exalted itself against the knowledge of God and bringing it into captivity. Every thought to the obedience of Christ. Say, you know what? Yeah, that might be where I used to be, but God's forgiven me of that and it's cleansed. And I plead the blood and God forgive me. Let me go on. Use it. Use it. Look back in Hebrews chapter number 9. The blood can cleanse your thoughts. Cleanse your conscience. Get you back where you need to be. Thoughts. Verse 14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offer himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Dead works. When your conscience becomes defiled, you're not bringing the thoughts down into captivity, under subjection, and pleading the blood of your thoughts and your mind, it'll cause your works to become dead.
Amen.
You know what the devil will say? What's the use of going back?
Right.
Look what you done did. You're going to go back down to church and tell everybody? You're going to go back to them that crowd you used to run with and tell them now you're saved and they done saw what you did?
Right.
Thoughts. Conscience. Needing a blood bath. Plead the blood from dead works. You know what dead works are? Dead works is a life of fruitlessness. Look in Hebrews 6 verse 1. It's a life of fruitlessness. When you live in a life of fruitlessness, there's no fruit in your life. That's what dead works are. He says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward God. Dead works, no repentance. You need to repent from dead works because dead works is a life that's fruitlessness. There's no fruit in it, amen. There's no fruit in a life that the conscience is defiled, is seared, is evil, amen. It's a justifying and excusing everything you're doing in your life is now fruitless.
Amen.
You know how many Christians are living a fruitless life? No fruit bearing. Why? All because their thoughts, conscience defiled,
amen.
Seared. It's a life of fruitlessness, dead works. Dead works is not only a life of fruitlessness, it's a life of no faith. Look in James chapter number 2, right after Hebrews here, quickly. James 2, verse 17. It's a life of no faith. That's what dead works are. James 2, 17. Even so, faith, if it have not works, is dead, being alone, right? Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God? Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is what? Look in verse 26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. You know what he said? That blood of the Lord Jesus Christ will purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. You know why you have dead works? That life of no fruit, that's a life of no faith. You know what it is? Look at Romans, Revelation 3. It's a life that's fake. Fake. Dead works. It's fake. Ain't nothing real about it. It's a life that's fake. Revelation 3, 1, and unto the church, unto the angel of the church of Sardis write, these things saith, he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. You got a name that liveth but are dead. You know what that is? That's fake. It's fake. A life of dead works is a life of no fruit, no faith, and it's fake. But you know what he said in Hebrews? How much more? How much more shall the blood of Christ? How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to purge God from purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? What do I do, preacher? How do I do it? Look in John 1 in closing. 1 John 1. 1 John 1. Purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. You know what God wants you? God wants you serving him. God doesn't want dead works in your life. God doesn't want your conscience evil, defiled, or seared, or weak. God wants it awake and alive and speaking to you daily. Yep. The Spirit of God inside of you as a saved person will speak through your conscience to get you serving the living God. Well, what do I do if it's defiled? What do I do if it's seared? What if I do if it's weak? What if I do if it's evil? 1 John 1 verse 7 says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the what? Blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from what? Every bit of it. You ever say, you can't be forgiven of that? The blood will cleanse you from all sin. All sin. Verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Why would you say you have no sin? Because your conscience is defiled. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What do I do? Bible says, come, confess, let God clean, and go serve. He said the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ can purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. You know why you're not serving? You're defiled. You're unclean. How can I go serve God? I'm unclean, unclean. You know what God says? Confess to me. I will cleanse you and you can go serve. That's what he wants to do. You don't have to live a life of defeat. The same blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that saved your soul from hell is what he's saying here is the same blood that will purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. You don't have to live a life of defeat. You don't have to let the devil play with your mind. You don't have to let him defile your conscience. You can plead the Lord Jesus Christ over your thoughts. You can plead the Lord Jesus Christ over your conscience and let God cleanse you and get up and serve God. That's what he said. All you got to do is confess. Say, God, I'm guilty. Cleanse me. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. God wants to cleanse. God wants you to serve. You cannot serve if you're filthy. God's looking for a vessel of honor, not a vessel of dishonor. God cannot use a dirty vessel. God wants your vessel clean all the way down to your conscience, to your thoughts. Plead the blood. God, take those thoughts away. God, take those memories away. God, take those things away the devil keeps throwing back in my mind. I plead the blood over them. Then you said it'll cleanse my conscience from dead works so I can serve you. Plead the blood over those thoughts. You say, preacher, what if he brings them back tomorrow? Plead the blood tomorrow. What if he brings something back next week? Plead the blood next week. The blood of Jesus Christ not only saves your soul, but it gives you victory in daily life. Use the cleansing agent. Use the blood. God put it there for that purpose. He said it's not only to bring eternal salvation. It's not only to bring eternal redemption to us, but it's also to purge our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Are you serving? Is your conscience clean before God and man? Is it becoming weak? Is it defiled? God said it's simple. Confess your sins. He is faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what he wants to do. Plead the blood over those thoughts. Plead the blood over that conscience. Use that cleansing agent. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That same blood, God's royal blood that saved us from hell, is the same blood that cleanses us every day. Use that agent. Cast down those imaginations. Bring them into subjection. Bring them into captivity to the knowledge of Christ. What am I doing? Bringing them into the knowledge of Christ? Remind those thoughts, remind that devil what Jesus did. He's the one. He's the one. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is thy flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Are you cleansed? Are you cleansed? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood. For my pardon, this I see. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Nothing can for sin atone.
Nothing can for sin.